Luke chapter 19, verse 1. Jesus entered Jericho and was passing through. A man was there by the name of Zacchaeus. He was a chief tax collector and was wealthy. He wanted to see who Jesus was, but being a short man, he could not because of the crowd. So he ran ahead and climbed a sycamore fig tree to see him, since Jesus was coming that way. When Jesus reached the spot, he looked up and said to him, "Zacchaeus, come down immediately. I must stay at your house today." So he came down at once and welcomed him gladly. All the people saw this and began to mutter, "He has gone to be the guest of a sinner." But Zacchaeus stood up and said to the Lord, "Look, Lord, here and now I give half of my possessions to the poor, and if I have cheated anybody out of anything, I will pay back four times the amount." Jesus said to him, "Today salvation has come to this house, because this man too is a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man came to seek and save what was lost."
Well, I doubt whether it will have missed many of you to notice that the Premier League has started again this weekend. And fans will be anxious to see how their teams fare in the early games, and no doubt start to speculate how things might end next May. And some of us will be hoping that our teams simply stay up. The Orient fans among us will simply be hoping that our team stay up in League Division 2. Others will be hoping that maybe this year their team will get out of the bottom half of the league. And then others, the Liverpool and Man U and Man City fans, will be speculating as to whether they might even become outright champions. But of course, for many of the players in these teams, just getting into the Premier League is a dream come true. And you can imagine some of these guys from the ages of 6 and 7, probably they've thought about it and wanted it and worked for it and looked forward to this time when they might actually be there in the first team or in the squad and actually playing in the Premier League. And you can imagine all that comes with that, the fame, and adulation almost, really, and the money and all that popularity and everything that they've kind of hoped for, they've got there. But what if they do get there and then discover that it isn't really all that they dreamt of? Now, there's a footballer called Gavin Peacock, and he played Premier League football in the past. He played for Queen's Park Rangers, he played for Newcastle and for Chelsea. And he says that football was like that ever since he was kind of 6 or 7 years old. It was just there in his blood. And he worked his way through the ranks of playing for his school and district and his county. And at the age of 15, he played for England schoolboys at Wembley against Scotland in front of 65,000 people there in the stands, plus many others watching on television. And that brought him to the notice of some of the big clubs. Manchester United were interested in him, Liverpool and Arsenal also showed an interest. But it was actually Queen's Park Rangers that he chose because Terry Venables was there as a young manager at the time and seemed to offer the quickest route to first team games. And therefore, at the age of 17, he realised his dream, playing for a Premier League, for a first-class football team. Fame, money, great career ahead of him. And yet, he says, something was missing. This is how he put it. "I had achieved my goal. I'd got to the top. I thought it would make me happy, but it didn't. Football was my God, but it didn't satisfy. And I began to question what the purpose of my life was." What do we do? What do we do when that happens? What do we do when our chosen gods have failed us. I think we get something of an answer in our reading this morning as we follow the story of Zacchaeus, a man who's chosen God has failed him. His chosen God of money has failed him. So let's just turn in our Bibles. You might already have that passage open in front of you. Let's read again the story of Zacchaeus, page 1053, Luke 19, verses 1 through to 10. Jesus enters Jericho and is passing through. And a man was there by the name of Zacchaeus. He was a chief tax collector and was wealthy. He wanted to see who Jesus was, but being a short man, he could not because of the crowd. So he ran ahead and climbed a sycamore fig tree to see him, since Jesus was coming that way. When Jesus reached the spot, he looked up and said to him, "Zacchaeus, come down immediately. I must stay at your house today." So he came down at once and welcomed him gladly. All the people saw this and began to mutter, "He's gone to be the guest of a sinner." But Zacchaeus stood up and said to the Lord, "Look, Lord, here and now I give half of my possessions to the poor, and if I've cheated anybody out of anything, I will pay back four times as much." Jesus said to them, "Today, salvation has come to this house because this man too is a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man came to seek and save what was lost." What do we do when our chosen gods have failed us? The answer here is in Jesus. He came for people like that to seek and save the lost. And I think we can see in this passage here three reasons why Jesus came to seek and save the lost. And the first was simply this: because he understands. He knows our chosen gods have failed us. He knows our chosen gods have failed us. And really, we kind of see that in the experience of Zacchaeus. And I think we see it because, as we put it up on the screen, this man strangely has a desperate desire to meet Jesus. Now, I think in this passage there's three very surprising things, and all I really want us to do this morning is just to note these three very surprising things and to kind of stand back from it and then draw the natural conclusions. And the first very surprising thing is this: Zacchaeus' desire to see Jesus. It shows us that something has gone wrong in his life. Why would a man like Zacchaeus be interested in Jesus? Now, we read here, don't we, something about Zacchaeus. He's a chief tax collector. He's a man of some kind of prestige, some kind of authority, some kind of status in his community. And we read also about him that he is wealthy. That's noted, isn't it, here? He's a man of standing. He's a man of wealth. Jesus talks about the meek. Jesus talks about the poor. Why does Zacchaeus, a man of standing and wealth, interested in Jesus who talks about the meek and the poor? And not only is he interested in Jesus, he's desperately interested in Jesus. I mean, the length to which he goes to meet Jesus. How many wealthy men of standing at that time would you have seen running? How many wealthy men of standing at that time would you have seen climbing trees? Men of standing and wealth usually have other people running around for them. They don't do the running themselves. Men of wealth and position demand or invite or instruct people to come and see them. They don't go hurrying off to see others. Zacchaeus is acting in a desperate way. So intrigued is he by Jesus. He doesn't want to miss that opportunity. He runs and climbs a tree. So all that money, all that status, all that position he has, and yet he's climbing a tree to see Jesus. His chosen gods have failed him. Something is still missing. He's looking for it elsewhere. Gavin Peacock admitted it. Zacchaeus' actions show that he's admitting it as well. And we simply have to ask ourselves, is it true for us? Are we admitting it? when our chosen gods fail us. I don't know what your chosen gods are. I can sometimes imagine and guess. It might be the goal of the happy family. It might be the goal of Facebook popularity. It might be the goal of business success and a comfortable retirement. Maybe you're many of things that may be your God, your chosen God. This is the thing that's going to make my life worthwhile, make me happy, content. But none of those things can answer the basic human questions as to what life is really all about. None of them say really anything about our true identity as human beings. None of them give us any hope for the future. None of them deal with our failings and give us forgiveness and pardon. None of them have grace built into them. Jesus came, firstly, because he knows that our chosen gods have failed us, as we see in the life of this man, Zacchaeus. But I think the second thing that we see in this passage here is that Jesus has come because the living God still loves us. Even though our chosen gods may have failed us, the living God still loves us. Even though we've turned our back on him, he's not turned his back on us. And I think we again see this, and let's put that up on the screen as well, Pete, in the desire of Jesus to stay with this man, Zacchaeus. Now look, people would have thought it strange that Zacchaeus wants to be with Jesus. They would have found it shocking that Jesus wants to be with Zacchaeus. Tax collectors were generally looked down upon in mainstream Jewish community at that time. Many of us understand that. They were people who worked for the occupying Roman authorities. But that's not the only reason why they would have looked down at people like Zacchaeus. But very often those who, like Zacchaeus, were working for the authorities, the Roman authorities, had kind of stepped away from the morality and the righteousness of the Jewish community at that time. And here is a faithful, righteous Jew, Jesus, inviting himself to be a guest of Zacchaeus, befriending, you might say, an enemy of the people. Now, recently I watched the Tom Hanks movie Bridge of Spies, in which Tom Hanks plays the part of a guy called Jim Donovan, who is an American lawyer chosen to represent a man who was arrested in the United States on charges of spying for the Russians. And Jim Donovan reluctantly accepts this job and begins to look into this man's case. And he finds that some of the paperwork is incorrect. And he suggests to the judge that this means that some of the evidence that the police and the FBI have collected can't be admitted in court. And the judge is amazed and says to him, "Jim, what are you doing? This man is an enemy of the state. We just want rid of him. Why are you seeking to help him?" The papers get to hear of it, and they come down heavy on him. And if the film is anyway true, his house, his home, gets attacked by members of the public. All of them find his assistance for this man, an enemy of the state, shocking and abhorrent. That's the kind of reaction Jesus gets from the crowd when he invites himself to the house of Zacchaeus. They mutter, "He's gone to be the guest of a sinner." But this gospel is going to tell us that Jesus will do more than just dine with sinners. This Jesus is going to go on to die with sinners. Here he sits with sinners either side of him at a dinner table. In a few weeks' time, he's going to be hung on a cross between two sinners, not simply associating with them, but taking their place. So look, this morning, here is our hope when our chosen gods fail us, the living God still loves us. I think what we have this morning in the story of Zacchaeus is almost the Bible story in miniature. Humanity at the beginning ignores God, their creator. They go after other chosen gods. They get what they thought they wanted and find it lacking. But the big message of the Bible is this: the living God has not stopped loving them, reaches out to them as Jesus does here to Zacchaeus. It seems unlikely, even shocking, and yet it's true. And that's our only hope. The living God still loves us. I just want to pause for a moment and ask you seriously this morning, have you grasped that? All those things that the world in all its richness still can't deliver are found here in Jesus. Purpose is here. Peace is here. Forgiveness is here. A sure future is here. Perhaps I could put it like this morning. Jesus wants to come and stay with you. How do we know that? Well, he commands his disciples, go into all the world and make disciples of every nation. Can I put it like this? Jesus isn't picky. One man who was famous for persecuting the church ends up writing this: the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Zacchaeus welcomes him with joy, doesn't he? Welcomes Jesus with joy. Is this true for you this morning? As you think about yourself, are you welcoming Jesus with joy? Because he's the great evidence that the living God still loves us. So Jesus comes firstly because he knows our chosen gods have failed us, but secondly because the living God still loves us. And then thirdly, and again we see this in the story here, because the love of God will change us. And that really is the kind of third and surprising element of this story, isn't it? Let's put it up there. Look, we see this in the lack of desire that Zacchaeus ends up having for his money. I just want you to think for a moment before we finish looking at this lovely story. What's going on here with Zacchaeus and his money? Okay? So he says, look, Lord, here and now I give half of my possessions to the poor. And if I've cheated anybody out of anything, I will pay back four times the amount. Now, do you think that at this stage, Zacchaeus is doing a quick calculation in his head? I think I can probably afford just about to give away half of my savings, my money. I don't think that should affect my lifestyle too much. I think it'll be okay. I'll be able to carry on if I just kind of stop at that 50%. Do you think that's how he's thinking? Has he had a word with his accountant and just how's this going to affect things and so on? Doesn't seem like that kind of gesture, does it? And what about this four times the amount? Evidently, Jewish law at the time was that if you defrauded anybody, you had to pay them twice the amount. So he's doubling that up. Do you think he's again calculated himself? Well, what could I possibly do? What gesture could I make at this time to kind of get myself back into the good books of this Jewish community? You know, has he had a word with some focus groups and PR people? And they said, well, sir, we think if you offer four times as much, that will probably do the trick. I don't think anything like that's going on here. I think his gestures basically say this: my money doesn't matter anymore. My money doesn't matter to me anymore. Coming to know Jesus, being accepted by him, has given my life something that money could not buy. Notice how Jesus refers to him as being a true son of Abraham. That's a kind of language for saying a true child of God is here. This man was lost, and now he's found. And therefore, money has lost its charm. It doesn't matter to him anymore. His old chosen gods do not have the same hold as they once had. So I think that's the third lesson, and it's a big one for us to ponder before we finish. Because what it's saying here is this: look, how can we change? The only way we can change, truly change, is to get free from our chosen gods that fail us by knowing the living God who loves us. That's why Jesus came, for people like that, for people like us. Gavin Peacock once played in an FA Cup final. It was not a good day. His team lost 4-0. One of his mates was so distraught that he threw his runners-up medals in the River Thames. So for that man, football was his everything. Gavin was able to move on from such things. In fact, he even moved on from football eventually. After he played, he worked on the television as what they call a pundit. And in fact, he became more famous on the screen than he had been on the pitch. But then he felt God's call on his life to become a pastor of all things. So he quit his work on TV and went to Canada to train for the ministry, free from the pull of football, which so many of his contemporaries still lived with. It's funny, he gives some statistics. He says his professional playing debut, was in front of 15,000 people. His first preaching debut was in front of 15. But look, like Zacchaeus and his change of attitude to his money, the love of God had freed Gavin Peacock up from his chosen gods. And now, let me put it like this, he was free to serve. Free to serve. And I just want us to kind of stand back from this story, its conclusion at the end, and just say, is that true for us? Have we been saved from our chosen gods that fail us because of the living God who loves us and his love which will change us? Jesus came to seek and save the lost. And Zacchaeus' reaction shows how effective Jesus is. We might put it like this. If it can work there with that man, it can work anywhere. If it can work there with that man, it can work anywhere. It can work in your heart. It can work in the hearts of your friends. And we can live lives that are free from our chosen failing gods. And we can see that message transform others and save them from their chosen failing gods because of the living God who loves them and his love that will change them. So let me just read the story once again before we finish, and let's just think about these three surprising things and what they tell us, what they say to the whole of humanity, what they say to us here this morning, what they say to you as an individual. And then we'll sing a lovely song about God's grace. So let me just read this through together. Let's ponder it. Jesus entered Jericho and was passing through. A man was there by the name of Zacchaeus. He was chief tax collector and very wealthy. He wanted to see who Jesus was, but being a short man, he could not because of the crowd. So he ran ahead and climbed a sycamore tree to see him, since Jesus was coming that way. When Jesus reached the spot, he looked up and said to him, "Zacchaeus, come down immediately. I must stay at your house today." So he came down at once and welcomed him gladly. All the people saw this and began to mutter, "He's gone to be the guest of a sinner." But Zacchaeus stood up and said to the Lord, "Look, Lord, here and now I give half of my possessions to the poor. And if I've cheated anybody out of anything, I will pay back four times the amount." And Jesus says to him, "Today salvation has come to this house, because this man too is a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man came to seek and save what was lost."